From the Sky News Centre at 3. Rio Ferdinand won't be going to Euro 2012. He's been left out of the England squad, while John Terry is included. Terry will go on trial after the tournament, accused of racially abusing Ferdinand's brother Anton, a charge he denies. New England manager Roy Hodgson insists Ferdinand's omission has nothing to do with that.
I had to make a footballing decision. I had to decide on the basis, basically, of what I've seen in recent months, and in particular, influenced also to some extent by the fact that Rio hasn't played so much since the World Cup and has only played once for England in the last year.
Steven Gerrard has been named as the new captain, while there are two debutants, Arsenal youngster Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Norwich goalkeeper John Ruddy. In other news, the father of six children who died in a house fire in Derby on Friday has thanked everyone who has helped the family cope with their loss. In an emotional news conference, Mick Philpott said organs from his dead 13-year-old son will be donated to another child. Theresa May has told police officers to stop pretending they're being picked on. The Home Secretary left the Police Federation conference in Bournemouth to boos and chants of resign, resign. PC Andy Dumbiotis from Devon and Cornwall Police says his members should be allowed to protest about changes to their pay and conditions.
The Home Secretary said today that we would not be given the right to strike, and the view of many of the officers we represent is that if we have the potential to be made redundant, we should also have the potential to have proper employment rights.
2.6 million people are out of work, but that's the lowest figure since last summer. Unemployment has fallen for the second quarter in a row. The Bank of England has cut its growth forecast for this year to around 0.8% from 1.2%. And the 65th Cannes Film Festival kicks off today. Some of the world's biggest stars are expected at the Riviera Resort over the next 12 days, including Nicole Kidman, Brad Pitt and Robert Pattinson. That's the latest. I'm Chris Giles.
This is Phoenix FM.
Phoenix FM weather in association with the Brentford Brewing Company.
Mostly fine this evening with any showers soon dying out. Cold night with clear skies allowing a frost to form in some rural parts before cloud increases towards dawn. Minimum temperature 3 degrees Celsius. And tomorrow a dry, bright and chilly start. Cloud increasing through the day and becoming breezier with some light rain possible across northern parts during the afternoon. Staying drier and brighter elsewhere. Maximum temperature 14 degrees Celsius.
Phone Brentford Brewing Company on 01277 375 577 or go to brentwoodbrewing.co.uk to make your selection and order for free home delivery. Brentford, great beer, whatever the weather.
You're listening to Gabby on Drive here on Phoenix 98 FM. Coming up this hour, I will be speaking to Catherine Garner. She is a cookery course instructor. We're going to be talking about cooking real food, some of the things she gives to her children as well, and much, much more. So stay tuned.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, this here's another one for the steppers. DJ Wayne Williams, put the record on.
Questions you have passed my test.
alright. Uh-huh. Now if you wanna step, you gotta play it by the rules. You gotta do what I do, when I do what I do. Now, step to the left, uh-huh. Step to the right, spin around and break it down tonight. Right. Bring it on up, moving close, uh-huh. And let me see you and your partner stroll. Step to the left, step to the right, spin around and break it down tonight. Right. Bring it on up, moving close, uh-huh. And let me see you and your partner stroll. Step to the left, step to the right, spin around and break it down tonight. Bring it on up. Moving close, and let me see you when your partner strolls. Step to the left, step to the right.
Phoenix FM Travel News with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood.
Narrow lanes and a speed restriction of 50 miles per hour in both directions on the M25 between junction 29 and 30. Temporary traffic lights on Ingatestone Road in Stock, close to the Butsbury Hall Farm Junction. And there's temporary traffic lights in Shenfield. There are ones on Hutton Road in between the Mount Avenue Junction and the Friars Avenue Junction. And there are also traffic lights on Priest Lane, close to the Middleton Hall Lane Junction. Nothing live to report at the moment. More travel in about half an hour.
Phoenix FM Travel with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood. Creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222 864.
You're listening to Gabby on Drive here on Phoenix 98 FM. I'm with you until 6 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. I will be speaking very, very shortly indeed to Catherine Garner. She is a cookery instructor. So stay tuned. Find out more about cooking real food.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Driving instructors required for Brentwood and Billericay areas. Why not train to become an instructor with Easy 2 Pass Driving School? If you're looking for a change of career, you could benefit from a company with over 20 years' experience in instructor training. And there's also the offer of work within the school when you pass the exam. Contact Easy to Pass Free on 0800 88 18745 for your rewarding career. 0800 88 18745.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
Starting on Thursday evening, then there's a repeat production on Friday and Saturday at 8pm. The Kites Theatre Group are presenting Harvey at the Brentwood Theatre. The classic heartwarming story of the relationship between Elwood P. Dowd and 6 foot 1 inch white rabbit. Is Harvey a product of Elwood's admitted propensity to drink or perhaps mental illness? It's £12 to go along. Call the box office on 012 772 00305, or get those details again on our website, allthews.phoenixfm.com/local events.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton. Your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.
Here's KLF, and then I'll be speaking to Catherine.
This is what KLF is about. Also known as the Justified Ancients of Moon Moon. Furthermore known as a jam.
And that was KLF, Last Train to Trans Central. You're listening to Gabby on Drive here on Phoenix 98 FM. I'm with you until 6 o'clock, and I am now pleased to say that I'm joined in the studio by another human being. I very much like this, as I thrive off of other people's energy. So I'm going to leave this room and I'm going to go for a run once you've come in to see me, Catherine. I'm not really. I don't run. I don't do running. Well, very, very. It's only if I'm in a mad, mad rush. It's the only time I run. Now, Catherine, you are from Mustard Seed Cook. Is that right?
Well, the business name is Mustard Seed. My Twitter name is Mustard Seed Cook because somebody else was Mustard Seed.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's like my Twitter name I wanted to have as exactly what I wanted it to have, and then I had to find a different one, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So many of them are taken up. Just explain what Mustard Seed is and how it all started. Where was the seed originally sown?
Okay, Mustard Seed is a business that I run from home. I do cookery classes and a supper club in Ongar. I have a real passion for food and for cooking, and I wanted to share that with other people. So that's where
wonderful.
It comes from.
Yeah, yeah. And how long have you been doing that for?
Okay, I did my first cooking class in July 2010, so nearly 2 years. We did the first supper club in July 2011, so we're nearly a year with that one.
Oh, okay. So if you don't mind me asking, what were you doing before this?
What was I doing before? Well, many, many, many years ago, I worked full-time in publishing. I gave that up when I had my second child. Just before starting my own business, I did 5 years as a consultant with the Pampered Chef. It was a great thing to do just at home with small kids, and it was to do with cooking, so I was interested in that. And that kind of
So what was a Pampered Chef? Did you start that business yourself?
The Pampered Chef is a huge American company. It's now in the UK as well.
Is it a franchise or something?
But they sell high quality cooking equipment via a network of consultants who go into people's homes and do cookery demonstrations and then sell the products. It allows you to work from home, if you like. So it's perfect if you've got small children. And in doing that, I realized, going out into people's homes for 5 years, actually how little real cooking actually went on. I was amazed how few people cooked regularly from scratch every day.
Yeah, it's so true. I do.
And I guess that gave me the confidence, if you like, to start up for myself. So Mustard Seed is my business.
What were the items, just out of interest, if you can remember? Oh. Some of the things that you used to sell a lot of, and give examples of some of the cooking equipment that you had, and people were just like, what is that?
Okay, so what the Pampered Chef do that's really clever is have you actually demonstrate the goods that they have. So in the catalogue, it might not be apparent what something is, but by doing the demonstration, you make it apparent. And that's the skill of the consultant, if you like. They have really fabulous stoneware, which gets really fantastic cooking results, and all manner of equipment that I still use every day in my in my kitchen today, and I use in my business today as well.
So what were some of the items where people were like, you just, can you not remember?
No, I can.
I mean, were there some people, but sort of, that you were demonstrating to and they'd never ever seen a pestle and mortar before?
Well, the Pampered Chef, funnily enough, didn't have a pestle and mortar, but one of their biggest sellers is called the Food Chopper. And that was something that had to be demonstrated to see the benefits of the thing, because otherwise it just looked like a contraption with a variety of bits and pieces of plastic that you would take apart and look difficult to wash. And in point of fact, it's kind of like a manual food processor, great for chopping up vegetables, which is great for getting them into kids who are fussy about eating their veg.
So, it probably saves you time as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's so many many different cookery tools out there. I mean, I never thought that our discussion would sort of steer towards tools at all.
Well, but I have to say, the best tools, I think, are the two on the end of your arm. So.
Yes, I am pleased that you've said that, actually. I can actually be a bit lazy at using the tools. And I know that sounds funny. How could you say that's lazy? But I am lazy at it, because at the end of the day, there's certain tools, if I use them more, the finished product would taste better.
Sure.
Yeah, it's to have a better texture. But I'm a bit lazy, because at the end of the day, it means that I have to wash it up.
Sure. I mean, there are certain things that we do differently for supper club. So, for example, I might use some of the little chefy tricks, like using a ring on the plate to make something sit in a nice round circle. Where obviously, if I'm cooking for my family, I don't neaten it all up, measured and accurate and pretty in the same way. So I definitely think there are some tools that that make a difference. But I use different tools dependent on who I'm cooking for.
Yeah, it just depends on the way you want to present the food, really.
Sure.
How do you present the food to your children, then?
To children? Well, I have three children, two of whom eat very well, and one of whom is a terribly fussy eater. So one of the cookery classes I do, for example, is cooking for kids, because I've spent years trying to perfect recipes that enable me to get a really good balance of fruit and veg into him without either him necessarily knowing or being able to pick it out. Now, he's 14 now, and he knows full well that he has a good balance on his plate. But I like, for example, to, if I make a tomato sauce, for example, I don't just use tomatoes and onions and garlic, but I'll also put in celery, carrots, leeks and whatever, then blend the sauce so you've got a smooth tomato-based sauce, but it's got the nutritional value of the other veg in there as well. And it's tastier too.
Yeah, I can imagine that adding those other vegetables that you just said and saying about the whole blending thing, does that actually thicken it as well?
It does, yes. You get a really nice amalgamated sauce, cheap as chips, healthy, it's fantastic, and, you know.
It's almost like a veggie smoothie, but, that's kind of the consistency that it makes it. Oh, that sounds much better, actually, than just a normal tomato sauce. It depends how you like it. I mean, I can remember as a child going around to friends' houses for things like spaghetti bolognese and just finding the sauce really, really watery. Now, I was used to a jar sauce, which is obviously a lot thicker, and I'm not saying that jar sauces are good. I think people should make their own sauces 100%, but that's how I used to get fed sauces, I'm afraid, which is why I never learned how to make a sauce, actually. And I actually learned from my dad, who is a you can't keep him out the kitchen when he's home. So that's how I learned. But yes, so I was used to this kind of creamier, thicker texture tomato bolognese sauce, and then I went round a friend's house, and I think her mum was quite conscious about health and blah blah blah, I found it really, really watery in comparison, and I didn't really like it, you know, because I wasn't used to it. So
I think the thing is what I kind of like to get across to people is understanding flavour and building up layers of flavour and kind of developing on that. So a tomato-based sauce, as we've just said, with all those extra things in, still tastes like a tomato-based sauce. But if you layer up the tomatoiness, in other words, add not only tomato puree, but maybe some sun-dried tomato paste as well, some seasoning, a little teaspoon of sugar, because the tomatoes in this country are not as good as they are abroad, then you kind of layering up the tomato-iness, if you like. But I absolutely agree. I don't like using jars of sauce. I think they're expensive and full of stuff that we don't necessarily want to feed our kids. So I don't.
Yes. Now, give some examples. I can't believe how many people don't know how to make a sauce. I mean, I come across them all the time in my everyday work, and they've never, ever made a sauce in their life. And I don't really know where to start, but there's there's so many ingredients that you can buy and use to make sauces. Could you give some examples of some ingredients? So, okay, do you want me to start off?
Well, I'm just wondering what type of sauce it is you want to make.
Well, I mean, you know, if you were like, right, from now on, I suppose let's think of something creamy, yeah, for a creamy, you know, chicken dish. Mm-hmm. Obviously a bolognese sauce, you know, something tomato-y. And then something that people tend to get out of one of those jars. I think it's for like stir fries, yes, because I'm really against those stir fry sauces. Mm-hmm. So give an example of the ingredients. So we'll start with the bolognese. Let's start with bolognese.
So with the bolognese, I'll do the same. There's a kind of basic four vegetables that go really, really well in building flavours in soups, in stews and sauces, and they are onions, leeks, carrots, celery. And if you always have those in your fridge, you can almost always do something with them. So I will start with those. Use a beef mince to add to a bolognese. Actually, if you mix beef and pork mince, that can be quite a nice thing, or sometimes to add some sausage meat. But the vegetables, if you don't want them chunky, then make the tomato-based sauce first of all. So all those vegetables sautéed off in some oil, some garlic, add your tomatoes, tomato puree, whatever. Then blend that sauce. So then you've got the equivalent of a jar of sauce, if you like, to add to your mince. So that's how we do a bolognese. I always add sun-dried tomato paste. Put in a stock cube if you want, a few herbs, you know, some seasoning. Creamy sauce. One of my fussy chops' favourite sauces is to do a kind of what he calls a creamy chicken casserole. Mm-hmm. So we will cook a whole chicken, but we'll cook it in stock with onions, celery, carrots, whatever. But then usually a good wine glass of white wine, and then finish off with creme fraiche. Mm-hmm. Use half fat creme fraiche. It works really, really nicely. It's nice and stable at the end. If you want something a little bit special, I'm doing, for my Italian supper club next week, I'm doing a wild mushroom and marsala cream sauce to go with a gnocchi. And that's ordinary mushrooms, wild mushrooms, a little bit of the wild mushroom stock, some marsala, and then that's finished off with cream. That's
what,
fantastic.
Pureed or just finished off with cream?
No. Pureed what?
The mushrooms.
The mushrooms are sautéed off with a little bit of shallot, sautéed off in some oil, maybe a little bit of butter, and then the little bit of the mushroom stock that they've soaked in, some of the dried ones, and marsala in. Let it bubble down
Are they baby mushrooms or big mushrooms?
I'll probably use some sliced chestnut mushrooms.
Right.
And then some dried wild mushrooms. If I can get fresh wild mushrooms, I will. But otherwise, I'll use a dried porcini, a sep type mushroom, full of flavour, really fabulous. And you soak them in a little bit of water to soften them, to rehydrate them. And then you can use that water that you've soaked them in. It's packed full of flavour. Add to the sauce with some marsala, which is like a fortified Italian wine. Right. Let that just simmer slightly to boil off the alcohol.
Yeah.
And then finish off with cream. That's fab. That's a nice...
Okay, what about a good stir-fry sauce?
Okay, with stir-fries, I tend not to go saucy, but I'll add the aromatics. So, for example, I might start with... ginger, garlic, chili, that's a good kind of little trio of aromatics. And then add, you know, your vegetables, your bean sprouts, maybe some chicken, that type of thing. And leave it at that, finish off with some coriander, maybe a squeeze of lime. So I don't tend to make those gloopy kind of...
Yeah, so what if someone wants to achieve a sweet and sour sauce, would you? Is that
what would I tell them? I'd recommend they look at a Chinese cookbook.
Yeah.
And good. Find something, you know. No, there will be a way of it. It's just not something I particularly like.
I would as well. Often you'll find that there's, for a sweet and sour sauce, you'll find that there is some fruit in there.
I used to make.
Made it sweet. And sometimes using, I think, sweet complements savoury so much.
Sure.
I mean, we've got brilliant examples, chutneys and things like. And I mean, you can make chutney and you can make things like your own apple sauce. You know, you can actually make all of these things. You can even make mayonnaise. I couldn't believe it when I went round my dad's one night and he was like, from now on I'm making my own mayonnaise. I was like, how much time have you got? You know, he doesn't do it all the time. He hasn't got time to do it all the time, but you know, he does, you know, if he's entertaining or if it's his day off, he will make the sauce. It's amazing. You can make all of these sauces and it's so much cheaper. Brilliant way to use up ingredients that have gone off a bit, you know, like an apple sauce, or if you're lucky enough to have an apple tree in the garden, you get them all and you're like, oh my word, what on earth am I going to do with all of these? And then you can do that, and then you can even make up your own sauces.
Sure.
I bet you really, really love sort of writing recipes for your courses, because you can make up recipes.
Well, I have to say, I mean, I have a lot of recipes, if you like, in my head. Actually, writing them down for cookery classes is one of the hardest things that I do, because trying to get a recipe into quantities, if you cook intuitively, I mean, I cook intuitively, I throw things in, so I can cook intuitively the same thing again, again, and again, but once I try to write it down, it's actually quite difficult.
Yeah.
But going back to your sweet and sour, I did used to make a sweet and sour pork recipe that used a tin of tomatoes and a small tin of pineapple chunks and thickened with corn flour, and that gave that sort of effect. It's just not something that we as a family continue to eat. We tend to do an awful lot more Indian Asian style spicy dishes if we're doing that type of
wonderful.
Thing.
Oh, wonderful, yeah.
But absolutely, I love fruit with meat.
Yes.
And we make our own chutneys too.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you can teach people how to make them as well, which is so easy, actually. I can't believe how easy it is. But I always say with cooking and with anything in life, actually, when there's a will, there's a way. And often when I have been completely lost or I've thought, now, could I make this myself? I read the ingredients list and I'm like, right, I haven't got a clue how much I've got to add, but I'm going to get those ingredients or the ones that I agree are healthy, because there's always so many additives and things in there that don't need to be in there, and then I combine them all, and sure enough I've got, and it normally tastes so much better. In fact, it always does. It always tastes so much better. I mean, let's talk about cooking, you know, cooking real food. I mean, to some people cooking is getting something out of a packet and sticking it in the oven, and you can think that you're cooking. I can always remember my grandma, no criticism to her, she used to feed us all sorts of, you know, different things, and we didn't have a really, really bad diet at all. But some things, you know, she used to say, I'm cooking, and that would involve getting two chicken Kievs out of, you know, one of these packets that's in breadcrumbs and probably full of this, that and the other, and processed chicken, and it's been kept in terrible conditions and whatnot. Anyway, I won't go on. And you know, she spung it in the oven, quickly, you know, whack a salad on the side, probably one out of a bag, and that was cooking. Mm-hmm. That's not really cooking, is it? It's heating.
Well, I think that's what kids do, and actually it's what some kids, it's all they learn to do, you know, take very seriously, if you like, trying to equip my children for life with cooking skills that will, you know, serve them well. So my eldest daughter, you know, she makes a fantastic risotto. She can make a risotto out of anything. I've taught her to cook, if you like I do. So intuitively, don't worry about quantities or ingredients. If you haven't got leeks, find some mushrooms. If you haven't got mushrooms, have you got asparagus? You can make a risotto out of anything, and she will do that. But I have to say, my fussy chops is much more inclined to put something in the oven and take it out. But as you say, it's not cooking.
Yeah.
So what I do with the classes is try to teach people to cook from scratch and show them how easy it is. It doesn't have to be complicated, but you can put fabulous, nutritious food on your family's table every night in half an hour, you know, without breaking a sweat and without breaking the bank too.
Yeah, now that is really important though, because people, you must get so many people on your courses, say this to you, and I constantly get bombarded with people saying, yeah, but it's more expensive. Now, I live on such a tight budget, and I never ever let that impact. I mean, I am really, really careful about shopping. I never ever waste food. But at the same time, it's not more expensive, is it?
No, because it's cheaper.
Yeah, because you're not paying some. It's always going to be cheaper to buy the raw ingredients because you haven't paid someone to basically do it for you and do it their way for you for as cheaply as possible with their cheapest ingredients. You know, I give people the example of watch The Apprentice when they're doing a challenge that's involving food. Do you ever watch The Apprentice?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, whenever they're doing one of those challenges, they're like, right, we need to get really, really cheap ingredients. And that is exactly how the food manufacturers and many restaurants, not all restaurants at all, because I know some really, really, you know, because obviously I like to eat at good. Oh, do you have any restaurants? Because, you know, I was just thinking, you should. Do you eat out at restaurants?
We do, but I have to say, over the last couple of years. It can be. That's not what I was going to say. Over the last couple of years, we've chosen to go to supper clubs as a way of eating out because that's what we do. And we've found it a really enlightening experience. It's a different style of eating out, but you get food that is at least as good as many restaurants.
Is this when you go around people's houses?
It's what we do as well. I mean, next Friday, we've got an Italian food and wine pairing evening.
So is your house quite big?
It's big enough. I can seat 20 diners.
You can sit 20 diners?
Yes.
And you will feed all 20 diners?
Yes, with four or five courses.
That's amazing. Do you get anyone to help you?
I have my husband, who's my sous chef, and my daughter, who waitresses for us, although we have to pay her.
Oh, okay. I should hope so.
But that's what I absolutely love doing, and therefore it is a real pleasure.
So
if you
need to have a waitress, and then you need to have another chef on hand.
Well, it's just about bulk. It's about getting 20. You want to get 20 plates out, all looking the same, piping hot. So there's a kind of teamwork that's required at that point.
That is amazing. That is amazing that you can do that. Did that faze you the first time you did it? Were
the
you
first
nervous?
Time I did it? Nervous is not the right word.
It's like
I'm a terrific organiser. I organise the life out of everything, and therefore it was organised to such an extent it couldn't possibly go wrong. But that didn't mean it didn't have hairy moments. The first supper club we did, we were doing pavlovas as our dessert. It was a celebration of the summer garden. We have an allotment as well. We grow a lot of our own produce. We have our own hens, blah, blah, blah. And so we wanted to really celebrate that kind of summer harvest and all the rest of it. And the pudding we decided was a pavlova. And I'd made many pavlovas many times before, barely using a recipe, or if so, we were looking at the Roald Dahl kids cookbook. But I decided to follow a much more well-known cookery writer's recipe for the purpose of said pavlovas, and it just didn't work. So I ended up making about 8 giant meringues before I had 3 that I could actually use on the night, and that was a bit hairy. But you know, over it.
I've known my dad's made meringues, and I can remember that. And he was. I think it was one of the most. And of course, it was for an occasion, and it was the most stressful things I can remember. It was, and there were bowls everywhere around the kitchen. And I was helping, you know, and making these. No, it's not working. There's meringues are quite hard to make, aren't
well,
they?
Well, actually, no. They're really very, very simple, but they can present specific kind of issues or specific problems.
If you don't know,
if you're doing them under different circumstances. Here's the thing that I learnt about the supper club. I need to practice things
In advance.
In advance. Even things that I do regularly. Think about the circumstances they're going to be in. So my oven's going to be completely full. So it's not going to be working up. It's not going to be the one thing in there. There's going to be lots of things in there. It's not working at optimum temperature, perhaps. At the same time, it needs to be precise in terms of timing. And therefore, I have to hold my nerve on the night. I go, don't put it in yet. I want to put it in, but don't put it in. It needs to be ready at precisely this moment. You've timed it. You know that in these circumstances, this is going to take 40 minutes exactly, so don't put it in more than 41 minutes ahead of when you want it, because otherwise it won't be right. So it's just that kind of thinking a little bit differently about how things work.
Oh,
but it's great fun.
And
that's why we like to go to other people's supper clubs, because we appreciate the work that goes in. It's real fun to sit around a table with other people that you don't know, even though that might sound scary to start with. That's the funniest thing about it. You meet some hilarious people and, you know, have a real fun time kind of chatting around a table while somebody serves you great food, you know.
Wonderful. Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. I'd love to. I could chat to you for at least an hour about all of this. And then I'd probably need to stop and have a cup of tea and something to eat. But thank you so much for coming in. And I would really appreciate it if you'd be willing to come back to Phoenix again.
Love to.
Because at the end of the day, there's not anyone listening, even those of you that are listening and you're not interested in cooking, you're not going to start cooking after you've listened to this, which is a shame, but never mind. One day you might need the skill. One day someone around you that maybe cooks for you might not be able to, or might not be around for you anymore. So one day you might need it, or you might be inspired by having children or other lifetime circumstances. And also, at the end of the day, you eat it. So it's relevant to everyone. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed Here's the Travel.
Phoenix FM Travel News with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood.
Slow traffic on the A13 eastbound between the Five Bells Interchange in Basildon and the Saddlers Farm roundabout in North Benfleet. Slow traffic on the A132 East Main northbound in Navendon between the A127 South End Arterial Road and the Cranfield Park Road Junction. And just apart from that, you've got temporary traffic lights on Priest Lane, close to the Middleton Hall Lane Junction in Shenfield, and on Hutton Road in Shenfield, in between the Friars Avenue and the Mount Avenue Junction, and also Ingatestone in Stock. Ingatestone Road, in Stock is closed near the Butsbury Hall Farm Junction because of roadworks.
Phoenix FM Travel with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood. Creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222 864.
Catherine, I do apologise. People might have been so inspired by our conversation, because I was, and they might want to, you know more. So where can they find out more?
Probably the best way is through my website, and that is www.mustardseedcooking.co.uk. Again, I couldn't get just mustard seed, so it's mustardseedcooking.co.uk.
Okay, and do you have a telephone number or anything like that? Can people follow you on Twitter? It's at Mustard Seed Cook on Twitter.
Yep, and we have a Facebook group as well.
I'll find you. What's your Facebook page? Just Mustard Seed.
Well, Facebook page is Mustard Seed, yes. It's a group rather than a page. So you can find that, join the group, and that's how you get to hear of things in advance of other people. Yeah, you get notifications of new classes, supper clubs, that sort of type of thing.
Wonderful. Thank you very, very much. And obviously, I'll be posting that onto my Phoenix blog very shortly.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, song. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words,
Mix FM.
If you want to see me, Michelle Ward,
or me, Brian Powers,
in Lycra, then come down to the Brentwood Centre Gym. They've got a multifunctional fitness suite, group fitness studio, and a dedicated spinning and power plate room.
To find out more information about their facilities, please call 012-77-215-151 or visit www.brentwood-centre.co.uk.
The Brentwood Centre cannot guarantee that Phoenix FM presenters will be wearing Lycra in our gym, but you never know.
50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties, Beatles, Stones, Beach Boys, Tamla Motown, rock and roll, soul. Whatever your bag is, we have it all on the Sunday replay. So take a journey through the decades, every Sunday afternoon between 2 and 4 on Phoenix FM to enjoy the music of your life. Brought to you by Kirby's Coaches, who've been creating smiles for miles for the past 60 years.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
This weekend at the Trading Shed on Berwick Road in Hutton, there's going to be an open weekend and plant sale from 10am to 1pm on Saturday and Sunday. Normally only open to members, on this weekend they're inviting everyone to go along and buy some great plants at very reasonable prices and to have a cup of tea and a chat to experienced horticulturalists to get advice and guidance. It's free to go along. If you'd like to know more, you can email admin@huttonhorticulturalsociety.org.uk or get those details again on our website, allthews.phoenixfm.com/local events.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton. Your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.